You know, something that's funny is about, at this point in my life, it has been about 9.5 years ago, I came here and I preached my first sermon here about 9.5 years ago. Started off, we were in that other room, if you remember, and I had a pulpit that looked like I could fit it in my pocket. Oh, it was great. It served the exact purpose we had. But I remember that, and I remember the first passage I ever preached out of was out of Romans chapter 8. I know, it's not surprising. Romans 8, right? Yeah. But I remember one thing about that, too. I remember when I came and when I started into my sermon, I remember that I shared something that came out of Romans 1 as well. Because at that time when I came here, there was this testimony that this church had of being a church of faith. And I remember pointing that out like Paul did to the Romans in chapter 1. And what just occurred to me so much back then and even still to today is this, guys. Listen, in a moment of trusting the Lord, a group of people stepped out by faith and started a church. And God blessed it, and God grew it. And then, in another moment of faith, God led them to buy an old bar. In a time when there wasn't money to buy old bars. They went to the bank, and the bank said, sure, just take as much as you want, pay us back when you can. And we're eternally grateful for the way God worked that way. But you know, that was a part of the testimony and the fabric of this church when I came here 9.5 years ago. There was a testimony of living and walking by faith. And, you know, I've seen evidences of it in my 9.5 years that it continues to be a part of the mark of this church. I've seen it in the way that we've seen people come to know the Lord, to be saved and to be baptized. And what an encouragement and blessing that is. But I also have seen it in the ways that God would work and move in the heart of Erica, and she would just walk by faith about 4,000 steps, a couple of years, or over a year, pretty much walking alone with just Sherry, and then God began to stir it up until by faith God raised over $10,000 at a pop for the outreach of Human Coalition. Those are things that speak to faith and trusting in God to accomplish something that we couldn't do on our own. And so we can praise God for that. And that, you know, just think about that for just a second, just how the short life of this church is not that old. You know, it's not that old. And for God to have done the things that He has done, and the testimony of this church in this area, and down in El Salvador, over in Belarus, and all around the world, is that this church has a heart and a desire to follow the Lord. And by faith, we're trusting God to do things that we can't do. That's a good testimony to have as a church. Okay? Now let's take your Bibles and let's look at what Paul had to say to the Romans. I'm going to make you guys all have a heart attack and tell you we're going 8 through 15. I know, it took us 7 weeks to get to verse 7, and here we are, all right? Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request that by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that I've often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and unwise. So as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Thank you. Have a seat. Father, this is your word. This is your time. Lord, please let your glory shine out bright so that people are drawn and attracted to you and fall more madly in love with you than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we get in here and this right here, I tell you what strikes me right off the bat is when I came here roughly 9.5 years ago, you had a testimony of being a church that lived and worked and functioned by faith. And that's, listen, I want you to know that's a great high mark. But what we're going to look at in this passage is we've got to be careful to keep stirring each other up so that we keep on being a church by faith. Y'all with me? Y'all stay. Y'all, I need some inner as a good bad grammarian would say, I need some inner reaction here. Listen, I want you to talk back and forth a little bit with me today. Get stirred up and think about this thing a little bit today. But I want you to see that right off, what happened is Paul was thankful for the testimony that the Christians in Rome had. He was thankful for it. I want you to think about this for just a second. Have you ever thought about how thankful to God you should be for the fact that we have the blessing of being a church that's known for walking in faith? I know churches that are known for how quickly they can divide. I know churches that can fight over what color the carpet ought to be. But it's a blessing to be a part of a church that says, God, we're going to walk by faith in God. Let's see what God will do. That's a blessing. And we ought to thank God for that. Look at what he says. He said, I thank God, my God, through Jesus Christ for you all. Listen, I want you to know something. The thanks that he had was for the people that God was using right there. It was not for an organization that had a tax-exempt status that he was thankful. He was thankful for the people because the people are the church. So when we talk about living and walking by faith, we're not talking about what Calvary's Cross Baptist Church does as an organization. We're talking about what the people that are what the church is really about are doing. Amen. That means I'm thankful for when you guys walk and live and move by faith. And we see some of it in the way that he is blessed congregationally. I see it in your lives personally. I've watched some of you just walk by faith in hard situations and see God bring you out the other side of it. And that's a huge praise. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be excited. We ought to be motivated by that. So he's thankful for them as people in Jesus. Now, but listen, that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. That your faith is spoken of. I want you to know that today, right now, as you sit here, there are churches, like I just mentioned a second ago, that are known for things other than living and walking by faith. Lots of them. They're known for their programs, the number of people they have in attendance, how good their band is, how good their preacher is, how good their facilities are, how new their facilities are, how state-of-the-art they are in all things performance-wise. They're known for all sorts of things, but they're not known as a beacon and a light of faith in that community. And Paul said, I'd rather have a testimony of being a small church with great faith or a big church with great faith than to be a small church known for division and a big church known for how good we can perform. I'd rather have a testimony of faith than anything else. You know why? You know why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You want to please God as a church? You better walk by faith. You guys have any desire in your hearts at all to please God? You're going to have to walk by faith. And Paul says, man, it's a beautiful thing when you got a testimony of faith. You should be excited about that. You should be praising the Lord for it. But look at this. They didn't just have faith. They had faith that was visible and recognizable to the entire world. Whoo, man, I tell you what. James said it kind of like this. He said, you tell me about your faith with no works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. That's the Pennell Warringtonian translation. But let me tell you what he was trying to get out there. The same point that he's making here. Real faith has evidence that flows out of it. Listen, when you walk into an old bar that God provided the money for when people stepped out on faith, listen, that's faith. We look around here and we say, do any of y'all that were here remember what this room looked like when I got here? Oh, yeah. Oh man, there was a great dance floor right here. There was a stage built right here. And just so you're clear, I want you to know they started work on the stage on this side and finished on that side. I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. You say, how do you know? I said, because by the time they got over there, they were drunk and nothing was straight and square. Everything over here was okay. I remember we took a board down across the back. It was just straight and nailed they leaned their guitars and stuff against it. And it was just straight nailed into the sheetrock with a nail gun. And if there was one nail in it, there was at least 75. Man, it was great. I remember standing right here one time. We were doing something to the floor, and Jeff Richards stood next to me. And, you know, Jeff's a terrible heathen. And he started telling me, he said, "Now right over here, Pastor, is where the tables used to be. And right over here is where we would sit and congregate. And here's where the little lean-to thing inside was. Because, you know, when you're drunk, things sound like good ideas." And they had built it there. And he described it all to me.
Love you, Jeff.
But you know what? Amen. That's my point. But see, by faith, God took that. And when I came here, you know, I looked around in this building, and God had provided it. And now I've got to be here and watch you guys continue to walk by faith. And now this is a room that's beautiful that we get to come in and use to gather together and encourage one another. This is an example of living by faith, saying, God says, "All right, are you going to trust me?" And we say, "Yes, Lord, we'll trust you." And he says, "Here, let me just lavish something on you." Amen. That's an example of it. And I praise the Lord for that. You ought to, too. Now, your faith is not just spoken of, but it's spoken of because it can be seen. Now, look, he's going to shift here to a focus on prayer. And look at what he says. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Now, before you pass over that too quickly, let me hit you with a little nugget I got hit with studying this week. What Paul did here is he said, in defense of my prayer life, I call to the stand the Lord God Almighty to speak on behalf as a witness of my prayer life. Now, before you gloss over that even faster, let me ask you, how many of you in this room this morning want to call on behalf of your witness of your prayer life, the Lord God Almighty, to stand in and say, "Let me tell you about their prayer life"? Woo, man, I'm going to tell you what, that little nugget will sting you a little bit, won't it? But I tell you what, he said that. Paul said, "I call God as witness to stand up and say what my prayer life has been about for you." And he had confidence that when God stood up, he was going to say the same thing that Paul had said. And that was that he ceaselessly prayed for these believers. You know what ceaselessly means? It means he didn't quit. It means every time he was in prayer that he could, he would get on there, he would get to talking to the Lord, and he would lift up the believers in Rome. Now that's fascinating, isn't it? I wonder if right now, if the Lord were to come and just stand on the stage and say, "Okay, one by one, I want you to rise, and I'm going to tell everybody how often you pray for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that meet here with you." Yeah. Boy, I said I wanted some interaction. It got quiet after that one. I don't know what happened. Is this on Ricky? Ricky, is this working? Listen now, that's one thing. But something deeper and more passionate was happening in the heart of Paul. You know what Paul was saying? The majority of people he was praying ceaselessly for, he had never met them. He won't Facebook friends with them. He didn't do video conference calls to get to know the people in the Church of Rome. He just heard by testimony. When people would come out of Rome, they'd say, "When you go over to Rome, there's actually some Christians over in there. And they're living in the toughest place in the world to be a Christian. And they're bold about it. They're living by faith in God." And he said, "Man, what a powerful thing." And he says, "So I pray for you ceaselessly." Now, listen, I've already said, what if God testified about how you prayed for each other? What if God stood up and testified about how you pray for your family? What if God stood up and testified about how you pray for Christians around the world you'll never see? Would your testimony be that you pray ceaselessly for them? Come on, let that stir your heart a little bit. Listen, don't take that and go, "Well, I don't do that, so I guess I'll quit." No. Oh, man. Call you a millennial if you do that. Listen, what I want you to do is see this, and I want you to take it into your heart and say, "You know what? God, I need you to stir me up by faith. I need to get to praying more for the Christians around the world. I need to pray more for my brothers and sisters in Christ that I join together with. I need to, listen, I ain't got no doubt about this in this room at all. You need to pray more for your family. You say, I already pray a lot for my family. Pray more. You say, well, I don't know if I need to pray more. Let me get my hair out of my eyes. Now, what are y'all laughing at? Look, what does he do in his prayer? But he doesn't just pray for them and pray about them. But look, he says that he's making requests to God about something. He wants to come and to see them. He wants to come and meet the Roman Christians. Listen to what he says. I make requests if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you, for I long to see you. Let me tell you something. Christians, oh man, this is important. You and I need one another. I'm going to get into this more deeply here in just a second. But I want you to see something first. Paul desired to be together with other Christians. Paul did. Paul's not some newbie on the block. Paul's not some young Christian who will eventually grow into maturity and do what most of us in America do and decide we don't really need each other. Right? Paul's wide open in this following Jesus thing. And he says, hey, I desire to be with you. Listen, have you ever come here and you didn't desire to be here? Don't raise your hand. No, I won't be able to see. I understand that. But what I'm saying is your prevailing attitude needs to be, you need to know that it is good for you to be here. I don't want you to come to church because you feel pressured and obligated. I want you to come to church because you come to understand that you love the people there and you need to be around them. You with me? Come on. Come on, you need one another. There are no Lone Ranger Christians, as the old saying goes. You can't get out there and do it on your own. You try to do it on your own, I guarantee you this. You'll end up with error and you'll be miserable. Because without anybody to check your heresy, you'll keep right on believing it. Y'all following me on any of this stuff? Listen, some of the most heretical thoughts that have been thought by me and then checked by somebody else. I go, man, I bet you that's exactly what this ends up being. And I'll read something or talk to somebody else or, you know, God will correct it. The only person I know more heretical than me is Alan Chester, but that's another story for another time. But you know what? I need y'all. Y'all need me. We need each other, every one of us in this room. But listen, he had a desire to come to them in the will of God. Now, I want you to know, he's going to say in just a minute, he had been prevented from doing so. He desired to be with them, but God hadn't opened a door for him to be there. That's right. Now, I don't really know how to approach this, other than just run straight into it. Sometimes you will be walking right with God, desiring right things, and God will say, N-O. What does that sound like? No. Now listen, Paul had a desire. Hey, was Paul a godly man? Was he following the command and leadership of Jesus Christ? He absolutely was. Was his desire, as we're going to see it laid out here in just a minute, his desire is basically this. I want to come to Rome because I need to be with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, because I want to come there and I want to encourage and build up your faith, and I want my faith to be encouraged and built up by you. Does that sound like a good desire? So we got a godly man with a godly desire, and God said, not yet. Ooh, man, that's hard to deal with, ain't it? That's hard to deal with. Sometimes in your life, you're not going to understand exactly what God's doing. You're not going to understand his timing. You're going to have a godly desire, and you're going to have a just following God in your life and in your heart, and he's going to say, no, we're not doing that yet. Hang tight. Now, what we're going to see, I'm going to show you something about what Paul did here in a minute that's going to help you understand how you should respond in that thing. But notice this. Although he was a godly man with a godly desire, the will of God had said no, and so Paul said no too. You catch that? He, listen, as a human being, wouldn't it have been easy for Paul to have said, now, wait a minute, I'm following God. I'm called of God to do this, and I got a desire to do this in a place where they desperately need it. There's no reason why God would say no. I'm going to go ahead anyway. Y'all act like y'all ain't never done that. That's what I love about y'all. Y'all like, I can see Paul. See him right now, that's what he thinks. I would never do that. I'd never get ahead of God. Ooh, man. But you know what we do sometimes. And sometimes it's born out of a desire to do something that would be glorifying to God. We look at it, we say, hey, that's exactly what God wants me to do. I'm just going to go over there and do it. And he shuts the door and we say, oh, well, that ain't no problem. What's next? God. Oh, he must be working over there. I'm going to go over here anyway. Oh, man, it happens. It happens. Happens to me. Happens to you. But you got to stay in prayer. Got to stay in prayer. That's what's going to bring you back. That's what's going to hold you back. But in the, he wanted to come in the will of God. See, Paul had been following Jesus long enough to start to realize that even if it was a godly thing to do over there, if God won't lead and God won't in it, you didn't need to go do it because won't nothing going to happen over there once you got there. Amen. Did you get all that? Amen. When you get over there and try to do what you think needs to be done without the power of God, it will not be accomplished. Got to have the power of God in it, so he was waiting. For I long to see you. Why? So that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and of me. So Paul said, I don't just want to come see you. I don't want to just come sit in your chair. I don't want to just come gather with your group and sing a few songs, give a little bit of money, listen to a sermon that takes too long, and then get out of the building. I want to come and I want to build you up and be built up by you. And it's important there. Because a lot of people have a misconception that the way that you get strengthened and encouraged in church is you let the professionals deal with the professionalism and they will spoon feed you and you will grow like crazy. Well, there's only 10,000 problems with that. And I don't have time to go through them alphabetically. So let me sum it up this way. Listen. You as a Christian are vital to every other Christian you will ever encounter. Do you hear that? You as a Christian are vital to the encouragement, building up, strengthening of every other Christian you will ever encounter. You're important to the ministry and message and proclamation of God's gospel. You are important to that thing. I don't care what you're called to do by God. You were called to do that. You were equipped to do that for the purpose of building up others. Now, your gift is not the same gift as mine. Mine is not the same as yours. But they're all important. They're all vital. Because you know what? If Paul didn't ever get built up, I can tell you this, his ministry wouldn't have lasted like it did. Do you know how I know that? Because if people who stand and preach the gospel don't get some encouragement from fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, they will just flat out burn out. No support, they'll just burn right up. And I've seen it happen. And I want you to know that you're a vital part of building up and edifying and encouraging the people who speak, the people who do Sunday school, the people who lead music, the people who minister to orphans, the people who go out here and change tires for people broken down on the side of the road, for people who go over and clean out the gutters of widows, and for people who go over here and do this, that, and the other. Every single thing that God will call you to do, when you do it, you are building up and encouraging a believer next to you. And when they do their part, they're feeding back into you. And what Paul understood was that if the church was going to be strengthened to remain in the title of a church of faith, it was going to have to be that all of us were going to do exactly what God called us to do by faith. For us to have a group reputation of faith. We got to come together and encourage and build one another up. Does that make sense? I want you to look around this room for just a second. Just look around this room. Do you know that the people that you're looking at have been selected by the God of the universe to build up and encourage your faith? Good common sense. You look around this room, you think, man, God should have done a better job picking my team. Look, I'm going to get me this tissue, and if somebody start me an eBay account, I'm going to sell this sweat right here. Think it'll heal laryngitis within 6 days. Y'all will get that when you get home. All right. Now, where were we? Oh, yes. Paul wanted to come in with his spiritual gift and encourage them. But he wanted to be fed by mutual. What he means by mutual faith of both you and I is when you, listen to me, this is important. When you walk in the spiritual gift that God has given you, that's a walk of faith. Because the spiritual gift is not something you deserved. It is not something you can do under your own power. It is something that God alone can do. And when you step out in faith and exercise your spiritual gift, well, that builds up the faith of another. Because they'll look at you and they'll say, there's no way he or she should be able to do that except for God. But if God can do it in them, I'm a lot better than they are. I know he can do it in me. Slight exaggeration there, just for emphasis, all right? Don't go home thinking you're better than the other one now. He wanted to be established and encouraged together. When the body isn't walking by faith, it's not establishing, setting firm each other, and it's not encouraging each other, it's tearing down and causing failure all around it. You ever been around somebody that was just allergic to faith? They wanted everything to be done by the human power. If you stay around a person like that too long, guess what happens? Well, I tell you what happens is it begins to affect you. It begins to discourage you. That's why Paul says when you get together with other believers, walk and exercise your faith, that's going to build each other up. And you're going to look around and you're going to be like, man, this is so great what God is doing right here. It's going to be like when you stepped out in faith and planted a church. It's going to be like when you stepped out in faith and shared the gospel with somebody, and they came to know the Lord. It's going to be like when you stepped out in faith, and you prayed, and God gave money to spare the lives of innocent unborn children. And you're going to be able to say, man, praise God for that. And when that happens, it stirs up more faith, stirs up more action. I know this, some of the sweetest, most peaceful times we've ever had as a church in this group is when we were hunkered down, focusing on God providing for things like 4,000 steps. You know why? Because by faith, you were having to trust God. Listen, there is not an extra $10,000 sitting in this room right now that we could all just pull out and lay on the table and walk away. It had to be God that provided it. And he did, and it stirred us. But we trusted him to do that by faith. And he stirred our faith, and he encouraged us. And when some of us got discouraged, guess what? You get a phone call. Hey, we were just praying about, we just felt like our faith needed to be encouraged. We needed to get to this marker by this time. And I refreshed it 3 minutes ago, and we just got an additional $200. And you know what? All of a sudden, man, it'd be shouts of praise around. I'm telling you right now, there are 9 people at my house who just get so excited during that time of year. There's 7 of them that run around the house shouting and hollering. I remember, I'm getting off subject a little bit, but y'all indulge me. I remember the first year that we were as a whole body were really involved. And I remember watching as it was about a couple of days before or a day or so before all the money was due in. And the big pot, the human coalition pot, not the part that we brought, but the part that God brought all, it was so close to their goal. And I remember my kids sitting on my bed and hitting refresh about 7 million times. As soon as it would quit, because it's got this little bottle and coins fall in it. As soon as them coins fell in, you saw where the total was and refresh was hit again. And I want you to know, they sat there and they watched and they watched and they watched. And Aaron and I watched and we watched and we watched. And when that money passed the goal, we praised God. Why? Because believers all around this community, not just this part of the body, but all parts of the body in this area, came together, and by faith we were watching God do something we couldn't take credit for, but we sure could be encouraged and strengthened by. Okay? And so that's why we got to live and walk by faith, all right? 13. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I've often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. Let me tell you this. He felt like he needed to give them a note of explanation. He had a desire to do something, but God had said no up until this point. And sometimes you just need to encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ and saying, you know what? God's moving in me. He stirred up this desire, but he hasn't turned me loose on it yet. But I'm praying about it. I'm waiting for God to open the door for me to move right into what he's prepared me for. You know, God, sometimes he's got to prepare you a little bit before you're ready to go do what you got to do. Sometimes God holds you out because there's something important he needs you to do before you move into the next thing. You know, as God held Paul out from going to Rome, he wrote a little letter called Romans. I happen to think that was a significant event. Okay? Especially around about chapter 8. No, I'm just kidding. All of it's good. All of it's good. But he says this. He's stirred by this. He says, listen, I want to come to you because I want to have some fruit among you also like I do all the other Gentiles. In other words, I want to get in there among you Christians. I want to stir up your faith and I want to help you produce some fruit. I want to have some fruit there. You say, what is fruit? Some of the fruit is seeing other people get saved. There's some spiritual fruit of watching people get saved. But that's also the fruit of the Spirit when you bear out in your life. When you begin to work and live and do your spiritual gift and calling, that bears out fruit. And you do things like Galatians talks about with the fruit of the Spirit that are not natural to you. How many of you are just naturally all the things that the fruit of the Spirit is? That's not any of us. Not a single one. You know why I know that? Because it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of you. All right. And he talks about just among all, among the other Gentiles. Paul was called by God to go to everybody, but especially the Gentiles. He says, I'm a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both the wise and to unwise. Let me tell you something significant to notice here, a couple of things about this that are important. One, he's in debt. He's in debt to the Greeks and the barbarians. Now, you would have naturally thought he might would have written, I'm in debt to God. But you know what? The debt to God that was owed by Paul has already been paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? So his debt now is to Greeks and barbarians. And if you don't know much about the culture and the time, I've told you many times that Jews viewed the world in two categories. Jews and Gentiles, or Jews and not Jews. Greeks and Romans viewed the world in two categories. Greeks and all the other idiots. They called them barbarians, but that's what they meant by it. They weren't smart enough. They weren't intelligent. They weren't living civil and practical lives like the Romans and the Greeks had. And so they were all ignorant barbarians. And he says, I'm a slave. A debtor to all those people. To the two classes that describe the world, Rome, I'm a slave to them, debtor to them. I owe them. And you say, what does he owe them? He's going to tell you at the end. He says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. He owes them the gospel. Why on earth does Paul owe a bunch of people all around the world, no matter what race, language, no matter what they're like, why does Paul owe them the gospel? It's simple, because he didn't deserve the gospel when he got it. And so therefore, since he got it freely, he needs to pass it on along. When you got the gospel and God saved you, you didn't deserve to have the gospel given to you on your merit. You didn't earn it. God gave it to you freely. And God wants that to be passed along freely to everybody. And you're a part of that. The proclamation of the gospel is person to person. Are you a person? No, I actually asked that inquisitively about a couple of you. Person to person, you're to spread the gospel. Why? Because you are in debt to the next person in line. Because if not, you begin to, in your attitude and in your position, you begin to give off this idea that somehow you deserve to hear the gospel and they didn't. What if God had done this for deserving? What if God had said, okay, everybody gets one free shot at the gospel, then I'm moving to the next person? How many of you gave your heart and life and soul and mind to Christ the first time you ever heard the gospel? Very, very, very rare. Very rare. What if God had said, I'll come back around to you if you're still alive once I've told everybody else? No, he poured out the gospel in front of you how many times? Some of us tens, some of us hundreds, some thousands of times you heard the gospel over and over and over again. It was freely given to you. So what ought you to do? You ought to be a part of spreading that gospel message. You say, well, I'm not Paul. I'm not a preacher. How do I spread the gospel? Here's what you do. You take the gift that God has given you, and by faith you exercise it. When you do, you'll build up others in the body. And by faith, working and living by faith draws glory to Christ. And somebody near you will come to you and say, hey, how you do that? Or, hey, why you do that? And you say, it's quite easy. It's Jesus in me. Ever since he rescued me from hell, he's been doing these kinds of things in me. And only he could do them. All right. Greeks and barbarians, wise and unwise, it's about the same basic point. In other words, social status and understanding, all that stuff, Paul didn't care. He just wanted to talk to you about the gospel. You ever look at somebody and think, I don't really want to share the gospel with you? Paul never felt that way. Paul looked at somebody and he's like, hey, hold up. I know you're taking your mom to the hospital, but hold up, let me talk to you a bit. No, he wouldn't be like that. He was getting their attention. He wanted to share the gospel with them. But listen to this, so much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Now, I told you I'd get back to what you should do when you're walking with God, you have a godly desire, and God says no. Here's what you do. You stay ready to do what God has shown you he wants you to do until he turns you loose on it. He says, so much as it occurs, in other words, I can't get to you because it's not in the will of God. But what I can do is I can be ready to, by faith, exercise the gift that I have when he turns me loose. How many, think about this now. Don't just nod and shake your head and think, oh, dear Lord, please finish soon. Golden Corral's getting full. But think about this statement now. How many times when God says no, not now, to a godly person with a godly desire, how many times does that person say, oh, okay. You do this unless you're nothing like me. God says, hold on, and you don't stay ready. And when God says, go, you're like, I'm not ready. But I'm not ready for that. I was ready 6 months ago. Why didn't you call me then? And he says, because I had some preparation to do in you, which you probably should have done. I had something for you. You sat down and waited. You didn't let me work it out in you. Now it's time to go and you're not ready. And I want you to know, man, God's gracious. He'll still pick you up and sling you in there. But I'm going to tell you what, man. When you go, you walk in there, and it's wide open. First few minutes of it might be rocky. Pilot dies, you're midair, you got to grab the controls now. What are you doing? You know, you kind of get that feeling, don't you? You ever been walking with God, sat down because he wouldn't let you do what you thought you should do, and then he says, okay, now it's time, and you got terrified because you're like, I can't do that. You know what the answer to that is? Trust by faith that even though you just messed up, God can work his gift in you even though you weren't ready. You know that? Isn't that exciting? Isn't it exciting to know that the answer is put your faith in God that he can do it even if you ain't ready? Because no matter what you do to prepare, you ain't ready. Right? I crammed 4 years of seminary into 9 years, guys. I mean, I really worked it out. And I want you to know something. When I walked across that stage in 2008, got my diploma, when they handed it to me, I was in no means prepared for what I would meet here. There were things that have helped me along the way, but seminary didn't make me a good pastor. If anything in me is good at loving and serving and teaching God's word, it is the gift of God given to me, and I just trust him to do it. It is not because I went to school. It is not because I study all during the week. It is not because I read great minds about the things of the Bible. It is simply the work of God who says, by faith, I say, by faith, I trust you. And he says, go. And he does things. And when he does that, oh, yeah, holding my hand, Miss Connie, just walking. It's like, and sometimes holding my hand is like holding Nate's hand. Sometimes holding Nate's hand, he's just walking by me. He's so proud. It's my dad. And sometimes he's like, I want to go over here. And now he's pulling. And I'm the same way with God. But you know what? I'm so thankful this morning that I don't have to dust myself off, get myself in proper spiritual shape, and then take another run at what God has for me to do. You know what I do? In the dust of my failure, I do what Peter did when he took his eyes off the Lord. I cry out, save me. You say, oh, but you're already saved. Yes, I know, but I can still call out for God to rescue me from what I've gotten myself into. And I said, God, will you do something right here with this mess that I've made? I trust that you can work even in this mess I just made. Some of y'all have a hard time saying that. Don't be afraid of it. God, I done made a mess. Would you please do something with my mess? He'll say, not only will I do some of your mess, but I'm going to use you as a part of the cleanup. Oh. Man, I'm going to tell you, that's awesome. That's powerful. Will you bow with me for just a second? God, we're so thankful for your word. Lord, there's not a Christian in here, Lord, who doesn't struggle living and walking by faith. And Lord, we have some good desires. Following you, we have some godly desires. And you say no sometimes. We don't understand that. Lord, sometimes we forget the beauty of being together and encouraging one another through our mutual faith and walking with you. We forget all that sometimes. We get ahead of you, or we quit on you, or we complain and whine and sit still and just talk about how bad things are. But your grace awakens faith in us again. And you encourage us to step out. And this morning, Lord, I believe that what this passage has done is it has stirred the hearts of some believers in this room. And Lord, I pray if that's the truth, I pray, Lord, that you would just strengthen them in faith. Lord, that by the faith gathered around them in this room, the Christians in this room that are going to stand up and walk by faith in doing something, I pray that it would stir just all of us all around this room in a powerful way, that we would encourage and build up one another by exercising that faith, not trying to do it on our own, not trying to do it by programs or methods or business models or anything else, but just simply saying, by faith, God, you do whatever you want to do. You put us where you want us to be. You tell us to say what you want us to say. You tell us to serve who you want us to serve, and we'll be careful that you get all the glory for it. That's our desire right now this morning as a church, Lord. I believe that because I believe Christians are stirred by your word and the Holy Spirit that applies these truths. And Lord, now I just ask that we would take some time, Lord, just to, God, just protect our hearts and our minds from getting distracted by everything else. And let us spend some time soaking in the truth of this challenge to live and to walk by faith. And just do this. I'm going to give you a minute now. I want you to just